everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Bob Dio. Bob, you look nice. I like your tie and shirt. I really appreciate my engineer producer dressing up for the occasion. It's like the old days at the BBC. Everybody would wear a tuxedo to do the radio, which is, yeah, it's very cool. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, March the 5th, and today is a day that's known as Fat Tuesday. It's Mardi Gras time, the day before Lent. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, and of course, all of our podcasts available for you at buckmastershow.com. The live line number 790-2040. Let's go now to our Washington, D.C. and government affairs expert, our contributor on D.C., Terry Bracey, who's enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected governmental affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents a couple of very important local clients here, the City of Tucson and Pima Community College. Terry is also a very big baseball fan, so he's very excited the boys of summer are getting ready with spring training. Mr. Bracey, how are you today?
Bill, I'm great. Isn't it great? I mean, baseball season, we're alive. We're trying to have fun in spite of Washington. And we got a couple of really good teams to follow. You've got the Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like the Diamondbacks are rebuilding, huh? And
yeah,
we've got the Nationals. So it's going to be a great summer for us, I hope, and a lot of fun. I just love baseball.
I know you do. Speaking of teams, we're beginning to see, or are we beginning to see, form a question out of this, not a statement. Are we beginning to see cracks in the new House Democratic majority? Whatever happened, Terry Bracey, to that bill that was going to require tougher background checks for gun buyers?
Well, it passed. It was an interesting vote that really raised two issues the Democrats really have to deal with. The first, I think, is how broad they want the party to be. You know, the Democrats won the House majority in part because of the active new progressives, like the now famous Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, who very much impresses me. But mostly they won it because conservative Democrats, or moderate Democrats, whatever you choose to call them these days, won seats in 26 districts, Bill, that President Trump had won in the election. And then 22 of the 26 who voted with the Republicans on an amendment the liberals didn't like were from those districts. So it was a controversial amendment. It had to do with mandating that that undocumented immigrants by buying guns immediately be reported to customs. It was really not necessary, but it caused a lot of angst in the Democratic ranks.
So was this seen by some as kind of a backdoor way to go after immigrants by the progressive group?
Yeah, it was. It really was. But what angered them most was that the amendment was not really debated, but added at the last moment to what is known, Bill, as a motion to recommit, which is voted on right before final passage. So when it passed, everyone's surprised. It really helped the moderate Democrats vote for tougher gun controls, but it really posed a dilemma for the liberals, who really disliked the idea of throwing in amendments affecting immigration policy that are not well thought out. So what followed, you know, was an emotional caucus meeting of the Democrats where some of the freshman members actually suggested dropping the motion to recommit, which protects the minority, gives them a shot. And they wanted to drop that altogether, but older heads prevailed and reminded the Democrats that they were less than 6 months out of being the minority themselves. So things change.
So, Terry Bracey, why are these rules so important?
Well, first, they lend fairness and order to the proceedings. But equally, rules have a way of distributing power. For example, Bill, look at what the Senate's done to devalue the filibuster rule. Senate Majority Leader McConnell and President Trump became frustrated that opponents of judicial nominees that they wanted were being held up because they had to, under filibuster rules, get a supermajority or 60 votes. So in order to push their nominees through, McConnell talked his fellow Republicans into sweeping the filibuster rule aside, something that had been in place since 1850 when it came to approving nominees for judicial and cabinet positions. So now the president's nominees would only need the votes of a simple majority to win confirmation. So, Bill, you know, in the short term, it helped pack the courts with conservative candidates as Senator McConnell has wanted. But in the long run, it's subtracted from the Senate's key power, the power to delay. Delay is everything for the Senate.
So doesn't that apply only to the confirmation process and not legislation?
Well, I can see you've been reading these arcane matters closely. Yes, you're right. As of now, it applies only to the confirmation process. But as we all know, as soon as a rule like that's been cracked after all that time, at some point they're going to move ahead and apply it to legislation as well, meaning the Senate can't hold up legislation anymore. And then a Senate seat really becomes nothing. I don't mean nothing more, but what it really becomes is a six-year House seat, a six-year term for a House seat.
I saw the
no special power left.
I saw the chairman Nadler, the House Judiciary Committee. He's beginning the process of, or is he beginning the process of impeachment? And do you believe the Democratic leaders want to go in that direction? We're quickly coming up on a little more than a year and a half away from the 2020 presidential election.
Well, Bill, everybody I've talked to on the Democratic side has basically rejected that strategy. They really, of course, they would love to see President Trump out of office. But I think they have come to the belief that the way to do it is through the electoral process. And the idea that the Democrats would come into power in the House, immediately impeach a president, and probably not convict him in the Senate, but still throw the country into chaos like that, is not something the Democrats want to do. They want to move on issues, health care, all kinds of issues that they want to get out in front of the country and have a debate on. So this, but Nadler, also has that Congress has a responsibility to the Constitution. So if the Mueller report suggests that there's reason to move into the possibility of impeachment, then it's a constitutional requirement that they do it. So they're getting ready just in case. But I'll tell you this, there are going to be a lot of very, very contentious hearings, whether there's impeachment or not.
Terry Bracey is with us on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Terry talks about Washington, D.C. and governmental affairs for us. Yesterday on our political face-off, Jeff Rogers, one of our regular commentators, you know Jeff, he's the longtime former Pima County Democratic chair. We had an interesting discussion about what are the Democrats going to do when they put forward their presidential hopefuls. Jeff's concerned if they go too far to the left, it will be a big mistake. Some of your thoughts, Terry Bracey, quickly.
Well, America is always governed between the 40-yard lines. We get out of whack every once in a while. A lot of people think that this particular president doesn't fit with that model. But basically, Americans, when you sit down and talk to them in a room, strip the politics away, you'll find that most Americans agree on most things. And they want to be governed by people who are more in the middle. And I think that that's going to have a strong bearing on the outcome in the Democratic primaries. But then again, I've predicted you know, a lot of things that didn't happen. So you might have some surprises here, but I think that the Democrats will, someone will emerge. Someone will emerge. And carry probably a voice of moderation.
All right. Do you think Biden will get into it, Terry? I'm just about out of time here.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I think I know a lot of, I know Biden, I know a lot of his friends, and I know they're all getting their old clothes out, you know, but I remind them, we're old guys now. Let the young people in.
Okay. Terry Bracey, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Terry, for your insight. Thanks a lot.
Have a great day, Bill.
All right. My favorite bakery in town is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Such exciting news. Coming up at Mona's, they'll be serving breakfast very soon, probably within maybe a week and a half. They're getting all the proper equipment installed, and they'll be ready to go at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve is really excited about this new project, as am I. It's going to be a great opportunity to go up, have some breakfast, meet some people there, do a little business early in the day. So there's all sorts of opportunities going on at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Opportunities like right now, stopping by, getting some wonderful baked goods, get a great sandwich. How about a brownie or my favorite? Well, I love the brownies, but I am partial to their chocolate chip cookies. Mona'sDanishBakery.com, a link on my website as well to Mona's at BuckmasterShow.com. Shelley Fishman is next. It's a rather flat day on the market, but we've got lots to talk about with Shelley Fishman right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
I'm going to consult right now on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk with Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you?
I'm well, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. What's the latest thinking about the Trump tax cuts? Are they a success?
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Yes.
If you ask the president's advisors and the president's supporters. In fact, I think today in the Washington Post, there was an op-ed or an opinion piece that talked about how well that whole thing had worked out. I'm looking at a piece from Market Watch that says it's official. The Trump tax cuts were a bust.
Mm.
So it really depends on what numbers you look at and what the expectations were. It seems clear from the people that I speak with and the people whom I read that the main expectations of repatriating large amounts of money that would then be reinvested in the industries that were repatriating that money, that has not worked out. It also seems clear that the tax benefits to corporations of lowering their tax rate, or the nominal rate, from 35% down to 21%, did increase their profitability, which they then paid out to shareholders in the form of buybacks and dividends. So what has happened is that for lots of reasons, the vast majority of the dollars that came into the country by the tax bill went to the top 10% of earners, and everybody else gets a little bit.
Like a sugar high.
Well, and that's exactly what happened in the second and third quarter when GDP was announced. All of that money coming back did have a stimulative effect. And so, you know, we got a couple of reports in the 4% range or a little bit higher of GDP. But when it then came to the year, we got a GDP report for the total of 2018 that came in at 2.9%. Now, what we're hearing in some of the press is that what the president had forecasted or was hoping for was 3%. Gosh, I don't remember that, Bill. What I remember is people like Navarro, Peter Navarro, and that gang, you know, on television saying, we're going to get 4% and 5% out of this thing. You know, we're going to break open the history
happen,
of the past
20
years. Didn't happen.
Yeah, so.
What's more, The reason we've got 2.9% is based in part on those two quarters of sugar high that were a direct result of the stimulus coming into the economy. So this year, 2019, is likely to be, you know, somewhere in the 2.4-2.5% range if we're lucky. And then 2020, assuming we don't get a recession, could be back down in the 1.5 to 2% range, which, given the fundamentals of the economy with low population growth and some other things that are kind of headwinds to the economy, that would not be bad.
But the big word is, well, big words, assuming no recession.
Well, and as an investment advisor and as somebody who deals with people every day and helps them manage their money and the decisions that they have to make to manage their money, that's really what all of this means. I mean, you and I can discuss macroeconomics mm-hmm. all day long, and it is kind of a nice exercise, and it's interesting to do. But what it really comes down to as an investor is what does that all mean for where the markets may be going and how to allocate your resources in a portfolio? Keeping in mind that in general, markets are considered to be leading indicators of where the economy is going. So if there's a general feeling that we are going to have a meaningful pullback, and I don't mean a 10% correction or a 20% bear using those definitions, if we're going to have a meaningful pullback that is going to result in several quarters of negative growth, then you would expect to see that in the markets, 2 to 4 quarters ahead of it actually happening. And if that's the case, what you would expect is a high amount of volatility. We're seeing that. A reduction line, an average line that's sloping somewhat to the downside when you average it out over time, we're seeing that. We had a very good January. We recovered a lot of the losses we had. Remember, last year, net of dividends, markets did around negative 6%.
Mm-hmm.
If we take a look at where they are right today, they're about where they were in January of 2018. Hmm. So we've corrected some of the problems of 2018, but we're not moving ahead. And as you know, my forecast for the year is about where we are right now. So we can see up and down and up and down and up and down. But at the end of the year, we're going to be between 6 and 10% to the positive for this year, 2019. And then we'll begin to see the effects of the predictive nature of markets on portfolios. So as we discussed last week, and we do from time to time, the question of what should be your strategy?
Stay the course.
No.
Oh.
No. Stay the course is the only strategy you can really rely on the day after the crash, because
okay.
then it's too late.
Yes, you're
the
right.
The day before you're the right. crash is make plans and discuss it with your advisor. Have a good, honest discussion about where you think the economy is going. And then don't have your feet stuck in cement about what you're going to do. Really begin to take action before this gets too close. Look, I can't time the market. We just know at some point this 10-year growth is going to stop and we're going to have a pullback. So you want to position your portfolio in such a way that you can take advantage of that pullback when it happens. Now, if you're 30 years old, doesn't matter. Stay the course. You're going to, you know, breeze right through this. But for the rest of us mortals who are in our, you know, 50s and 60s and 70s, who need to make sure that downside volatility is managed against, you need to begin to have those discussions. Well, actually, you need to have begun to have those discussions with your advisor already. The other thing that's very important, I think, for people who are looking carefully at their investments is to really break their portfolio into the pieces that they're needing and therefore managing for themselves. And if they intend to leave parts of that portfolio to their beneficiaries or heirs. Because if you're leaving a part of your portfolio and you know the likelihood is that's going to happen, you manage that piece of the portfolio as if you were the beneficiary's age,
right.
not your own age.
Right.
So what we're seeing in kind of modern or more modern portfolio management these days is a willingness to kind of subdivide the portfolio into the pieces. Some of it goes to charity, some of it goes to your beneficiaries, some of it you want to spend, you know, the last penny with your dying breath. You got to tell me when you're going to take your dying breath. But those kinds of discussions can really be important to alleviating your sense of tension and worry about the portfolio if you know you've taken care of the pieces that can ride through any dramatic downturns or upturns, and the piece that you may need to be living off of, is more conservatively and aggressively managed to minimize downside risk.
All right, Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Thank you very much, Shelley. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hi, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. I'm going to be heading over to Green Things on Saturday. We need some get some plants in the ground for spring here. Green Things, what a great sponsor they have been for the Buckmaster Show. Open daily, 3384 East River Road. It's a 13-acre site, beautiful location. Now they have Zocalo, all that great merchandise. Handmade furniture, all that fine art from Mexico, Latin America, Europe. Zocalo, part of the Green Things family. You can go to greenthingsaz.com or zocalovillage.com for more information. Let's welcome now our contributor on science, Dr. David Levy. The Buckmaster Show contributor has been with us pretty much since day, not pretty much, he has been with us on day since day one of the radio show, and for many years over on my show, Arizona Illustrated on Channel 6. David Levy, the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. He's one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. 23 comets. Can you imagine? One comet would be amazing, I think, but he's got 23 notches on his belt. Dr. David Levy joins us from his observatory in Vail, Arizona, and I assume all the snow is long gone.
It has, Bill, and thank you for having me. You know, I was thinking about the 23 comets, and this does not count as my monthly quote of the month. That comes later. But I wrote an article back in 1971 for the National Newsletter of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada. And back then I wrote that comet hunting had attracted the fancies of many men, including William Brooks, Charles Messier, Leslie C. Pelcher, who between 1925 and 1954 gathered 12 comets from an assortment of novae, and David H. Levy, who between 1965 and 1970 has found nothing. Absolutely nothing.
That was a 5-year drought for you.
Yeah, the drought. The drought has gone on a lot longer than 5 years now, but I'm still enjoying it, and I'm back to doing about an hour on a clear night, and I really do love doing it.
Do you think you'll be giving it up in the future?
Yes. I think one day I will wake up and I will look over at Wendy as we sleepily wake up, and I'll say, Wendy, and she'll say, yeah, and I'll say, I've had it. I've done enough comet hunting. But that date hasn't come yet.
Why'd you ever start looking for comets in the first place?
Well, I wanted to learn the sky. And to learn the sky, the best way, you have to teach it to yourself. And by searching for comets, you get to learn the sky, star by star, constellation by constellation, in a way that nothing else really can teach you. And then I decided to do that, and I started it on the 17th of December, 1965, and it's been going on ever since. It's the second biggest, best decision I've ever made in my life.
And I know what the best decision was, marrying your lovely wife, Wendy.
Yes.
How'd that go after? You had quite a bit of snow at the observatory, didn't you?
We had 6 inches.
Wow.
And I have a couple of pictures of the of Mount Fagan behind us to the south with a lot of snow on it. And we had the most snow that we've ever had since we moved here.
Did it affect any of your observatory or the sound system there?
Not really. We have... there was a tree... A branch of a tree that fell down over one of the cables, and I had to replace the cable. But other than that, the sound system has survived, keeping my neighbors awake all the time.
10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's Bill Buckmaster with Dr. David Levy, our monthly visit. How is the autobiography coming? I know it's been sent off to the publisher, correct?
It has been sent off, and the publisher has accepted it, and it is supposed to be printed and released in the middle of June. So we're going to be having a launching celebration in Toronto in the middle of June, in a couple of months from now.
And the publisher will be the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada?
It certainly will, if they still decide they want to publish it.
Well... What's the takeaway message that you can give our listeners about the book?
It's my story. It's the story of what has made me, what has caused my passion over the years, what has made me be the person I am, and what has caused me to follow the stars. It's been really a very special, very, very special thing for me. And by sharing this, the good and the bad with everyone, I get to look back on my life a little bit and to get a sense of of where I've been and maybe where I plan to go in the future.
Before we hear the quote of the month, spring is coming. I mentioned it's time for me to go to Green Things to get some beautiful green things for the garden this weekend. And spring is coming, and that means, David Levy, there's a change in the sky. Is there anything that you would like to call our attention to early spring in the sky?
At the end of April, there will be a meteor shower, the Lyrid meteor shower, and no comets so far, but there have been quite a few in the last few months, so it's been a pretty good time for comets.
And we're saying goodbye to Orion.
We're saying goodbye to Orion. Jupiter is going to be coming up around, Jupiter even now comes up around midnight, and it's going to be coming up earlier and earlier every night as the spring gets going.
Time for the David Levy quote of the month on the Buckmaster Show.
Well, this one has to do with Bart Bok. And Bart Bok was a very, very famous astronomer. He was director of Stewart Observatory for many years here in Tucson. And I wrote his biography called The Man Who Sold the Milky Way. But the quote has to do with not something that was very happy about his life, but one of the sadder parts when he was actually forced to leave Harvard University, where he was associate director, and to move to Australia. And as he and his wife Priscilla were ready to leave, he decided to visit his friend Mabel Agassiz, who was one of the big donors of buildings all over Harvard College Observatory. And the quote goes like this: Mabel received the box one last time. They discussed their future plans and philosophy, about which they felt very deeply. What are we? Asked Priscilla. Are we for sale, or are we in love with the Milky Way? You could say the box are going into exile, or perhaps you could say it's the greatest opportunity in the world. Suddenly, the Lady Bountiful of Harvard Astronomy looked at them intently. Unless I do something, Harvard will forget about you in 2 weeks. She thought further and then said she would arrange with McGeorge Bundy at Harvard to start a Bok Prize to be given to a Harvard graduate student. And that prize, I believe, is still being given every year.
Wow.
And this is something a little bit different. I wrote that biography of Bart in about 1980s. It was published in 1993. And every now and then look back at it. It's kind of an interesting part of my life.
Tell me how that last name, Bart Bok, is spelled.
B-O-K.
B-O-K?
Yes. Bok.
Huh. Bok.
Yeah. It's not like the musician.
Okay.
Not like the composer.
What was his connection then to the University of Arizona, David Levy?
Well, when he was in Australia, as he was driving out there to get ready to travel by plane to Australia, he stopped in Tucson, visited some old friends, and they said, listen, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go out to Australia. You're going to stay there for about 5 or 6 years. Then you're going to come back to this continent, and you're going to become head of astronomy at the University of Arizona.
Huh.
And we're going to have a job waiting for you, and we want you to do that. And he accepted right then, and he did.
Hmm.
He became director for a number of years, and that is when I met him. And sometime I can tell you the story about how I met Bart Bok.
Well, we'll save that for another time, but it's always always fascinating talking with Dr. David Levy. We always learn something, and that's really what it's about. That's why I do what I do here every day, Monday through Friday, because I come in to learn something new, and that's what I try to achieve every day. Dr. Levy, thank you very much. We're all set for your appointment coming up, believe it or not, April already.
April.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. David Levy with us on The Buckmaster Show. Exactly 12:44 on The Buckmaster Show. Waiting in the wings, Dr. Ray Woosley. So much to talk about today with Dr. Woosley on our Your Med segment. It's Buckmaster on 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just a three-hour drive to a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org, for the complete listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities, including doing some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or just hanging out in historic Silver City. Great people over there. They've been wonderful supporters of what we do. It's time for our monthly segment on the Buckmaster Show, focusing on your medication and how to take control of your health care. Our Your Meds segment features Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean. He's founder and now president emeritus of the very successful Tucson-based CPATH. That stands for Critical Path Institute, Dr. Woosley's latest venture, creation of Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Visit CredibleMeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Good to be here. Allergies in the air.
Oh, but, yeah.
Otherwise, fine.
It's some good news coming out about Credible Meds and its connection now to the University of Arizona.
It is, and I'm so pleased with it. You know, we don't talk about it much, but I have an appointment at the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Phoenix and have been working with them.
And I did not realize that. I need to add that to your bio.
It's an important part of it, and yeah. I'm very proud of my role there. And the U of A has been working with AZ Cert or Credible Meds and the Banner Health, of course, You know, Banner is the primary teaching unit for the University of Arizona's Colleges of Medicine. And so they've been, they made a big announcement this week that I was involved with, and I'm very pleased to be here to talk about it. You know, the basic concept behind the award, which we'll get to, is that in the past, if you had a heart problem, you would take medicines that affected the heart. And if you had a stomach problem, so you went at the organ. So you were really attacking the normal function of the body usually. The precision medicine is now the real theme. And we're going after understanding the disease and attacking the diseases with medicines. And that means you have to understand the cause of the disease and the disruption. And that's often genetic testing and other factors that tell us about ourselves. So personalized medicine is the theme for this. And the Flynn Foundation has made an award to the University the University of Arizona for $1.5 million. And that's being matched by Banner Health, $1.5 million in kind and support to bring new ways to use medicines more intelligently and more safely, which is all, that's what Credible Med is all about. So I'm really pleased to be wearing two hats in this, my Credible Meds hat and my U of A faculty hat.
The for folks that don't know, the Flynn Foundation does what? They're a grant-making organization based in Arizona, correct?
It is. It's the second largest, I think, foundation in Arizona, mm-hmm. and they're based in Phoenix. It was started by Robert Flynn, a cardiologist who made a lot of money in real estate and left it, and they've given millions of dollars of support to the universities, to CPATH. They helped CPATH get started, and now they're helping this precision medicine program get started up in Phoenix.
How
and, in Arizona and throughout the Banner system.
So what are the components of this precision medicine program?
Well, the concept is that you've got to have the science, and that's where the U of A and Credible Meds is bringing science to the table. And then you have to have a willing partner who practices good medicine, and that's where Banner Health is making the commitment to work with the scientists at the U of A to find better ways to identify people who need a treatment and make sure we can give the right patient to the right at the right dose at the right time, the right medicine to the right patient. And that means that you've got to involve the technologies. You can't just rely on people's memories. Each medicine today has more knowledge, there's more information about it than any doctor can master. So we're working with Banner Health to get ideas from information from their medical record and tie that to the treatments and then provide advice to doctors, not sending out announcements saying, hey, dummy doctor, you made a mistake. Say to the doctor, this patient has certain characteristics that you really want to be thinking about, and then guide them to the right therapy. So that's what we call precision medicine today.
So you are the co-director of the Division of Clinical Data Analysis and Decision Support.
That's right. That's my other hat. I and Steve Curry lead a group of about 12 physician scientists who are working with Banner on bringing. We've got about five projects that are working on improving the use of medicines, identifying people before they take a medicine that could cause sudden death, before they take a medicine that could cause them to have a stroke and bleeding. So these are exciting projects that are going to change the way, are changing the way healthcare is delivered, not just in Banner, but throughout the state.
You know, some people have a horrible reaction to these blood thinners.
Yes.
Is that one of the components of this?
It is.
Yeah.
Tell
me about it.
Heparin is a medicine that's given by vein to break up clots.
And yeah.
If you have deep vein thrombosis or blood clots to your lungs or stroke, mm-hmm. heparin is often used. And heparin in some people has a bad reaction and can cause them to lose their platelet count and start bleeding. So we are working to extract from the medical record information to identify those people before they have that reaction.
Perhaps these are people that have had bleeding episodes or bleeding ulcers. They could be suspect or have a bad reaction to this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there are other characteristics and blood tests that can be run to identify those people and then take them off the heparin before they have those kind of reactions.
How about people who inherit high-risk genetic variations?
Well, that's really the future today. We call it pharmacogenomics, the genome that controls how we respond to medicines. And there are about 31 drug gene pairs now that can be tested on a chip the size of your thumbnail. You can do over 30,000 tests to identify those genes and put that in the medical record so that if you ever take any of those medicines anytime in the future, I mean, that test is good for life. And now the cost of those tests is now down $100, $150. So those can go into the medical record. And we're now writing guidances so that the doctors will know how to use those genetic tests, when to order them, but also how to use the results.
Coming up here on the program Thursday, Dr. Woosley, we will be speaking with the CEO of Banner Healthcare.
Peter Fine?
No, it's a lady, I believe.
Yes.
Yep. That will be with us talking about the company itself. How has that transition gone overall?
It's gone
Banner, the Banner absorbing the U of A health system.
It's gone very well. I've gone through this at two other institutions, so I know it can be rocky.
Right.
But Banner Health has been committed to developing the academic relationships that are essential for this kind of partnership. They've invested millions and millions into this community. You can just ride down Campbell and see it going up. The sky, the new hospital, the new cancer clinic, well, it's more than a cancer clinic, but what used to be just cancer at Campbell and Allen, what they've invested into what we used to call Keno Hospital. Now it's Banner UMC South. So this community has really benefited. Banner Health has invested, and I think over time with programs such as we now have started with precision medicine, are going to be bringing the best that U of A scientists can offer into the healthcare that they deliver. And that was the plan.
And how has precision medicine, how does that relationship with Credible Meds work?
Well, Credible Meds provides some of the science.
Okay.
We evaluate the medicines for their safety, put drugs into categories. These drugs we know you should stay away from. These drugs are more likely to be beneficial. So we are one of the scientific partners. Credible Meds is a nonprofit based here in Tucson. And is working with the U of A and actually began the relationship with a grant from the Food and Drug Administration.
Mm. Well, I've learned something new here. Dr. Ray Woosley, co-director of the Division of Clinical Data Analysis and Decision Support with this whole kind of precision medicine. That's really the future of medicine, isn't it?
It really is.
Targeted medicine, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right, Dr. Woosley, so crediblemeds.org, very easy to use. If anyone has any questions about how maybe a medicine they're taking might interact with another medicine, and a lot of people take multiple medicines, and sometimes the reaction is not good between the two or three or whatever you've got.
That's absolutely correct.
All right, Dr. Woosley, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Dr. Ray Woosley, the creator of Credible Meds, doing some really good things. And we didn't get a chance to get into CPATH, the Critical Path Institute, which in effect, Dr. Woosley, bottom line, does what?
Speeds the development of new drugs by bringing the FDA, the regulators and the regulated industry together to share what they know about medicines.
And it was created when? CPATH's been around for
2005
already, and look what they've done. They've become a huge player on the international scene.
That's right. They now have offices in Ireland and all over the world, and there are over 3,000 scientists from industry working with 3,000 scientists from the FDA to share knowledge.
All right, Dr. Ray Woosley with us on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks, Dr. Woosley.
Thank you, Bill.
That's going to do it for Buckmaster today. Coming up next, Steve Rivera, his sports show, very popular. It's called Eye on the Ball from 1 to 3. I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of Dr. Ray Woosley and Bob Dio in the other room, looking so sharp there with his tie. I always appreciate Bob dressing up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of all of us, have a great afternoon and evening.